Second hour here on this hot Thursday morning. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Tonight, NHL Draft. 4 hours of coverage here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. Just go upstairs or just listen. Starts at 6 o'clock. Willie will be a part of it. Roby Stanley will be hosting it. And our next guest, C-Mace, Chris Mason, will also be on the coverage. C-Mace, what's up?
Not too much. I'm getting excited. Texting with big Roby Stanley, Willie, and just talked to Max and just getting excited for the draft. There's a lot of stuff going down in the league and in the Preds land. So just excited with the anticipation, I guess you could say.
There's also stuff going on with the Yossi family. So let me just go on and say congratulations to Roman and his wife. Their daughter was born this morning. So there you go. Just
wow.
Pass that along.
Are you breaking this, or was this on social media are you re-breaking it?
I will just say a little birdie told me last night, but it is out there on social media. So I waited.
You and Roman, Yost are besties, texting Yost last night. You're on the group chat or what?
See, Mace, my birdie doesn't have a name on air. My birdie doesn't have a name on air, okay?
That's awesome, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, so congratulations. That's baby two, right? Baby number two for the Yost.
Yep.
So good for them. So just wanted to pass that along. So 6 days out, we've talked so much about Philip Forsberg, and there seems to be new layers with general manager David Poile. And typically, you don't get anything. You don't get any nuggets, right? But he's already put out there publicly they're going to go the 8 years, and now it seems like could be willing to give him the full no trade. Now, if that is the case, they're down to one thing and one thing only. What do you think is going to happen in the next 6 days, and do you think there's any chance we could get news today or tonight?
If that's the case, and you know he's come down on that, and you know this is kind of how I expected it would go. It's going to be come down to the 11th hour of the last week. That's when as the club probably has the most power, because until this week, really, Phil, you don't have to make that decision. You still have time to kind of wait it out. But once it gets down to it, the team's usually going to put their best foot forward and say, all right, this is what we got. If you want to get it done, you kind of inch closer together as it goes on. And, this week right here, this is it, right? We're a week away from free agency. So you get to the point where the decision has to be made. There's no more talking back and forth. And, if the team waits long enough and then finally comes in and looks like, okay, well, now we're moving. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you that. Whether they intended to do that all along, that's not how it works. And, I know that social media is good for one thing. Just give them this and give them that. And, you just can't do it like that. It's not how it works.
Get him whatever he wants.
Get him whatever he wants.
Get him whatever he wants.
Yeah. Right. Like, so it's not work. It just doesn't work like that. But
no.
I expect to get this to get done here, obviously. And I hope in the next 2 days, if David Poile is willing to give him those things that you just mentioned, and that's been out there, I haven't seen that, but I see no reason whatsoever. It's a no-brainer for Phil, for me.
Okay, tell me if you agree or if you're going to push back on this. This is just my gut feeling. My gut feeling is I don't like the 8 years. That's not a big deal. I think that was he knew that was always going to be in play. Maybe he didn't start there. Maybe he wasn't willing to concede that early on, but that was always going to be in play. But I don't think David was willing to go there, but now maybe that it's getting crunch time, he's willing to go there. But my gut feeling is, okay, he's going to tell J.P. Barrie, okay, I've gone somewhere I didn't want to go. Now you need to go somewhere you didn't think you were going to go. I need you to come to my number. And my number, for me, I've put out there, and I think Willie now has jumped on board, and we're both in agreements, which is usually never the case when it comes to money. 8.25 per is the number we're both in agreements on. Where are you at on that? And do you agree with that assessment that this is where David goes, okay, I went somewhere I wasn't planning on going. Now you need to go, you need basically come down to my number.
Yeah, I think I always thought it would be, between, it would be over eight and below 8.85. I feel the open market, he might get more. But the one card that you mentioned, which I was in total agreeance with, is that eight year is something that no other team could offer Phil. So whether he goes and gets more money out there, you know, tax rate, all that kind of stuff, you know, the grass isn't always greener. And I hope, you know, he's getting that advice from his agent as well, because I think, you know, he loves it here, his girlfriend and all that stuff. And that's important. And, you know, you're going to make this much of a commitment time-wise. It's, you know, maybe the rest of your career, I don't know. But you got to play and be in the spot where you know you love. And he loves it here in Nashville. And I think if there was any doubt of what direction this team was going to go in here, especially in the next few years when he's in his prime, they go get McDonough. So I think send a message really to him and to our fan base of, you know, what this team wants to do here in the near future. They want to be competitive. They want to keep getting better. They want to add those pieces. And for me, I mean, look, like you're getting 8 years, 8.2. You're getting 8 years, 8.5. I mean, come on, like sign the deal. Let's go. That's how I feel about it. I get it. He's earned that and he's earned the right to negotiate this. But to me, I don't feel that that would be a big stick up or a hold up for Phil, especially if he gets those other things. He's got the eighth year, whether it's a full no move clause or to modify it or it's a certain amount of years, I don't know. I think it's a good deal for both parties, and I expect it to get done here rather shortly here if that's the case.
Chris Mason is with us. Mace, give us your reaction when you saw the Ryan McDonough trade and what that could mean for the decor.
Well, I loved it. You know, obviously you're going to have to make some, you know, adjustments with having the three lefties there, but, you know, with Yossi Ekki and McDonough. But I feel that in this situation, it instantly, this is what we talk about this, Willie, all the time is, and you guys talk about it ad nauseum, what does this team need to get out of this, you know, to get to that next level where you're a serious team, that you're in the conversation, where you're not in this, you know, rebuild mode. You know, you had a great year last year with all the development of the youth, but you're missing some pieces to be a, you know, a serious team. And to get him, to get a defender, you're not going to hear one bad word from, I'm sure you guys have talked to a bunch of people trying to get out the lowdown on McDonough. He is one of the most respected players in this league. He's one, he's a leader. He's a penalty killing, you know, master. The guy just, every single team would want Ryan McDonough on their team. So the fact that they got him, that's just an absolute instant, huge upgrade for the Preds on their D-core. And then that's something now you look at their D-core. I mean, last year when they have a guy, one or two guys get hurt, they really started to get exposed. And even though they had some, you know, guys with experience and the young kids were playing well, they just didn't quite have what I think it took to be that team. But now with him, I mean, they're going to try a bunch of different things. I think, you know, Ekholm's been able to play on the other side too. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Hines starts it out, whether he goes Carrier, Yossi, and then, you know, Ekholm and McDonough. But, you know, they'll tinker with all that kind of stuff. But it's just a huge get. And that sends a big message, I think, I hope the fan base and the guys on the team is like, all right, here we go, boys. We're gonna get this team better, and we're gonna make a big move like that. So, be interesting to see, you know, what David does here at free agency as well.
And that's why it would be great to wrap up the Forsberg deal to know exactly where he slots in terms of the salary cap now that you have McDonough done. Because in looking at what they would have left in the cap with 6.75 to McDonough, let's just in the neighborhood say 8 plus for Phil, the other upgrade in the roster that they've said they would like to address, and that's the second line. You might have to get creative there, Mace. Either take somebody who's undervalued, or you'd have to move a contract or two to really clear the room you would take, because you would think a top six guy you're not going to get for $2 million, right? You need probably double that at least to probably have somebody that you feel more comfortable with going into that spot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there would have to be probably a little bit of work to do to get there. Otherwise, I think you're kind of in a similar situation as you were, you know, last year with sliding, you know, guys like Cousins or Cunning or somebody up there that, you know, that's, you know, a very good hockey player, but maybe not necessarily ready for that role and that level of production that you need in that spot. So there's always work to do in the salary cap. I mean, they were able to go get McDonough, and it's always nice to say, well, we want this guy, and Johnny Gaudreau would be awesome here. And, you know, the old salary cap, and, you know, the Preds have done a good job of staying within the parameters and giving themselves some flexibility. And that's why Tampa Bay, they didn't want to get rid of Ryan McDonough, but the fact that they're up against the cap and they've got players to sign, and, you know, they've had their dynasty, and that's what you have to do if you want to win at certain points. But there's a lot of teams that, you know, that are strapped right now. So if you can get creative and, you know, potentially, I guess, make a trade with some prospects where a team is trying to unload some salary and, you know, you can get them to keep a portion of that so you can fit it in, but you have to give back some, you know, draft pick or some prospects in return. I think that's, you know, an option. It's easier said than done as well. But if they want to sign somebody, there definitely has to be somebody moving out with that's carrying a lot of salary weight.
All right, take us back to 1995. And you were drafted that day, the 122nd overall pick. But where were you? What was the – give? Set the table for us.
Okay. This is – okay, I went and played junior. My first year in junior, you know, I interviewed with New Jersey, just whatever, because the draft was in Edmonton was the only reason that I did. I'm from Red Deer, an hour away. And you know, they apparently had interest in me the year before. I went to the Canadian Championship for minor hockey at the midget level. And so I went up there and, you know, thought nothing of it. The Devils had just won the Cup. And the only reason that I actually went to the draft was because it was in Edmonton. And I didn't expect to get drafted. I played in Prince George. We're one of the worst teams in Canada in junior. So I go to the draft, and I'm sitting there and, you know, just trying to enjoy the experience, because I just think, oh my God, this is the NHL, and there's that person down there, and there's Lou Lamoriello, and, you know, all the general managers, Glenn Sadler, everybody's down there, and a bunch of the guys that I played with getting drafted. And all of a sudden, the fifth round comes around, and I see the scout actually for New Jersey. He looked up and kind of pointed or whatever. And then I tried to pretend like I wasn't looking, and I started to get really nervous. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, am I going to get drafted? And then I got drafted. They called my name, and it was like one of those moments, you know, your first NHL game, or one of those pinnacle moments where it was almost like an out of body experience. I couldn't believe it. My mom and dad were there, and they were just so overjoyed. They couldn't believe it. And it was just one of those incredible moments that, you know, a bunch of kids are going to get to experience today.
Boy, that is the part that you can't take for granted on a night like tonight. You'll see them go up there one after another. We'll be talking about the Predators, but, you know, just put yourself in the shoes of somebody that's been playing all throughout their youth to have that opportunity. That's got to be a great, great feeling. So good stuff, Mace. We will talk to you tonight. We'll talk more about that. And we'll follow and see what the guys with the gold and blue have up their sleeves there.
All right. Awesome, guys. Thanks. It's fun talking hockey again.
You got it. Chris Mason, he'll be part of our coverage tonight starting at 6. Robbie Stanley, Mace, myself. I think Pete Weber will be around, Brent Peterson. And we will get some interviews from Montreal. Remember, it's a live draft. They're actually up there. Everybody's down on the floor. So we'll get some coverage from Montreal. We'll hope to get the first round pick on if that goes according to plan. We'll get you really good in-depth coverage, and I hope you come out to Fort Ice in Bellevue. That's where we're going to be, up top on the high level in the sports bar up there. Draft picks. It's going to be really good. All right, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. With your home's value up right now, you're sitting on a pile of money, and if you need it, it's there for you, and Loan Pronto can set it free so you can use it to pay off high-interest credit cards, other things. Maybe it's a home improvement project, getting a down payment ready for a new home, or stash away for a safety net. There's a lot of options, and Loan Pronto can help. You can get $50,000, $75,000, even $100,000 or more out of your home, and the payments are crazy low. Think what you could do with that money. You might have a pressing need, and you're figuring, where am I going to get this? Think Loan Pronto. They make unlocking your equity easy. Don't let all that home equity pile up. If you need it, use it. Turn your house into an ATM and get the cash you need. Call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Could have 115 heat index today. We may be the hottest city in the country. I know we've been saying that for years, but I mean, like, literally the hottest city in the country today. It's going to be that hot. Appreciate Chris Mason for joining us. Let's go on and do this. Caller 7. Caller 7. 615-737-1025. This is why you have to listen to the show. You just never know when we're going to do wild and crazy stuff. Caller 7. Two tickets to see Kevin Hart at Bridgestone Arena on August 3rd. Good luck. Max Herz is standing by at the Hillside Medical Game Studio. So, if indeed David Poile is willing to go the distance, I wish he were still in Iowa. We could really do that. On a no-trade clause, and he's willing to go the distance on the length of the contract, which would be 8 years, what is your number that you think, if that were in play and you were in charge of these negotiations, what would your number then be, your cutoff number of, look, I've conceded that I've made these concessions. I'm willing to go the distance on these concessions, but I'm not willing to go the distance on the number. Here's my number. What would be your number? Like, this is it. I will not go any higher. I'm not comfortable going any higher. The people in the organization are not comfortable going any higher. I can't do that. What would that number be?
Well, if he's offering the full no trade, to me, that is a huge, huge thing, because now you can fully try to take advantage of the benefits you have tax-wise in Tennessee. I know I've said it a lot, but it's real money. We can do an exercise, Darren. Pick a city. We did San Francisco last week. You want to do Los Angeles? We can do it all. But because I've got the moneygeek.com pulled up here. But even taking that out, what teams have said, what players have said in the past, and let's use Ryan Ellis as an example. He was loyal. He wanted to spend the rest of his career as a Predator. He signed the 8-year deal, and I can remember having him on our show, and he was saying, I was like, hey, you're going to be here for 8 more years. He goes, 9. Because remember, he had another year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he envisioned it, and then a few years later, he's traded. So I can see Phillip or any player saying, look, if you take the discount, if I'm giving you the discount because of the Tennessee money, I need no trade protection, because I don't want to be in the shoes of where Ryan Ellis or Victor Arvidsson were, where I give you the benefit and then I lose the benefit. Victor Arvidsson goes to Los Angeles, where, let's just say, $8 million in Los Angeles as opposed to Nashville. I did the math. We did this last week. I'll pull it up here in a minute. But you lose the benefit, right? You don't get that anymore. Now you got to live in Los Angeles, unless you keep your home here. And even then, I don't know how practical that is if you have a family. And where is it? And now I can't even find it. Anyway, I'll pull it up on the website. But you get where I'm going with that. But if you're going to give them that non-trade protection, now I think you can really put the screws down and say it's 8 years. $8.25 million is $66 million guaranteed. Who is going to beat that? You got to go to $9.5 million to get over top of that. $9.5. And my argument, now maybe Phil knows something that we don't, and maybe there's that team out there. Mm-hmm. Is he a $9.5 million player?
No.
I mean, respectfully, in my mind, no. He's not quite that. He's not quite that. And maybe a team would do that, but that's a desperate move. And I don't know who's got that kind of money and would make that practical type of decision. Now, I could be way off on that, And even if he got it, then you lose the benefits of being in Nashville and the taxes take over there. So if deep down, if he wants to stay here, which I really feel like he does, right? George Kittle is on board with this. You know, he's been doing stuff. He's been staying in Nashville. I think he's shown signs that he'd kind of like to be here. So I don't think it's like, hey, the grass is greener on the other side. If the money is almost exactly the same, then 8 years at 8.25 to me is the deal. So holding out for another half, for another $250,000 a year or $500,000 a year, he could do that, right? And I think that the Players Association would be really excited about that. They'd say, yeah, Phil, set the bar. Get as much as you possibly can. Can you squeeze him out of that? I don't know. That's the question, Darren, is where do you absolutely draw the line in the sand and say this is the final offer?
I will say this. I'm a little surprised by your answer, but I like your answer. I'm just a little surprised by it. Typically, I'm not trying to be. You tend to cave. Your number seems to be higher. You tend to be a little bit lighter on your stance. And I'm glad you said that because I agree with you. Let me tell you why I agree with you. One, this is the number I've been throwing out for a good while, right on the show, 8.25. So that is the number that I have felt like is a very, very fair number for both sides. Now, you could say, well, I threw in the 8 years, no, you know, guaranteed no trade clause for the full length of the contract. And you could say, well, maybe that factored in to why you're having the harder stance. No, actually, it really doesn't. Because here's the deal. I wonder how much the Ryan McDonough deal in Tampa and how that played out and how he ended up here had David saying, okay. Because of how that played out. Because ultimately, again, and we've talked about this, anybody who's ever signed contracts for anything, you know, you didn't start out of college or high school, whenever you became an adult, whenever you were living on your own, I don't think you started off just living in a house right away. You probably lived in an apartment, right? You probably had to sign a lease. That's a contract. Everything is meant to be broken. There's always loopholes. There's always ways to get out of anything and everything. Whether it's a radio contract, a TV contract, doesn't matter. Any contract you've had signed, there's usually a way to get out of it. So we just saw it play out. Ryan McDonough had a no trade clause. Could have easily waived it and said, I'm not going to Nashville. They're not one of my teams. And he could have played hardball. But he ultimately didn't. And I would say most guys, and Philip Forsberg, I feel pretty comfortable. I'm not speaking for him. I'm just speaking on firsthand knowledge of being around him this whole time since he's been here. I don't think he's the type. And then, oh, by the way, we've heard all this about Ryan McDonough, right? Great guy. Like, nobody has anything bad to say about him. I don't think Philip Forsberg is going to be the guy that, you know, 5 years down the road, if whatever had changed here, they just said, hey, we can't pay you this anymore. Like, we have to move you. We'll help, you know, you find the spot. I can't imagine Philip Forsberg saying, nope, I'm not working with you. I'm not doing anything with you. I've got a no-trade clause. I'm not going anywhere. I just don't see him doing that. And I'm not saying that's going to play out, but we also don't know how 8 years plays out, right? Anything can happen in 8 years. We have no idea. So I do wonder, did that change? Was that a shift? Because David Poyle has been one of the stingiest, and I think rightfully so. It is the right move. I don't understand why other GMs give out no-trade clauses like Halloween candy. I have no idea why they sure you get one, and you get one, and you get one. Sure. I don't know why other teams do that. It's the right move. But do you think maybe he kind of changed his stance because of what just played out on how he acquired Ryan McDonough? He's like, ultimately, what does it really matter? If I need to get out – or the next GM needs to get out, they'll be able to get out. Do you think that played in?
I don't know. I keep coming back to the same thing. I think if Philip is reasonably feels like you can win here, you know that, especially to me, the McDonough factor is McDonough's another guy who is got limited window left in being a premier player. Ryan McDonough wants to win. Now, he had limited options, right? We went back and Nick Kiprios had the great assessment of what happened there. Tampa Bay went to Ryan McDonough and said, we're sorry, bud, but we got to let you go. So it's either traded to Nashville or we waive you and Columbus picks you up. So it's not like he had a choice of 10 teams. But Ryan McDonough said, give me Nashville. I got 4 years left on my deal. I want to go win in Nashville. I hope that's a sign for Philip Forsberg to say, okay, you got a lot of guys around your age range. Your window is, at least this next window, you hope is going to be 2, 3, 4 years that you can make a good run or two in there. McDonough hopefully will help you with that. But to do that, you get the no trade. And to me, you're not giving them a big pay cut if you take 8.25. You could argue that that's right exactly what he's worth. It's higher. It's higher than anybody on the team except for Roman Josi. It's right in line with what his production has been in the league with a lot of other players. There's an occasional guy that's paid more than he's probably worth, but why would the Predators want to do that? You want to pay him a fair amount. I think 8.25 is pretty fair, right? That's not a big team discount, is it?
No. We'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side. Congratulations to Stan in Smyrna. Woo, woo, yeah. Stan was lucky caller 7. Stan is going to Kevin Hart at Bridgestone Arena on August 3rd. Thanks for listening, Stan. Enjoy the show. We'll come back, continue the discussion next. We'll talk to Caleb Joseph at high noon. Elliot Freeman will join us from Montreal at 1 o'clock. It's where the NHL draft will take place. 4 hours of coverage tonight on these airwaves, starting at 6 o'clock. And if you're out on the west side of town, go to the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. Go upstairs and hang out. Have fun from 6 until 10 p.m. Roby Stanley, Ville Donick, and C-Mace will be anchoring the coverage tonight on these airwaves, 102.5 and 106.3, the game. Let's go to Ray in Cooperstown on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Darren, it was so cool when about 20 minutes ago you said go the distance. I've been streaming all morning here. I'm in Iowa right now, and I went the distance, and they built it, and I came about an hour ago. I was just at the Field of Dreams.
Oh, nice. So is that your first time?
Yeah, first time. I'm from Illinois originally, but I live in Cooperstown by Springfield, and I've called into you guys. I've talked to you guys at the games, season ticket holder here. And I have a quick question, and maybe it's just a different angle. And I know this is probably not the case, but since Poyle's never done anything like he did yesterday, could it just be that he's desperate and he's trying to save his own hide right now in case he doesn't sign him? So he can say, listen, I offered him this, and I offered him that, and I offered him this. Is there any way that's the case?
Well, we can put Ray on hold so he can hear this, if you could. And, Ray, thanks for checking in as always. I hope you enjoyed the Field of Dreams. Willie was there several weeks ago. Still got to make my way out there. And now I'm pumped. Like, now with Ray's call and your experience, got to get out there. I've got to get out there. It's got to be a bucket list thing. Got to have happen here in a couple of years, for sure. So let's address that, Willie. I think it's a good question. Look, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, save his skin. I don't think David Poyle's in trouble. I mean, we've talked about that on the show all the time. I mean, that wasn't going anywhere. Other people have said that. It was like, well, I don't know where you're getting that from. It's not happening. David Poyle is not going to be the general manager when David Poyle decides he's going to retire, when he doesn't want to be the general manager anymore. So I don't think he's trying to save his skin. I like the question. Do I think that he is trying to save the situation? Sure. I'll sign up for that. Because I even said this when we talked about it on Tuesday's show with the McDonough trade. I can't imagine you're making a deal like this to actually have in the equation that Phil Forsberg is going to walk away.
There's so many people saying the same thing, that, man, everything points to Forsberg staying. There's not a single person that is going against that. Whether you're talking about somebody locally, whether you're listening to David Poyle, whether you listen to Chris Mason, or whether you listen to Elliot, Pierre, all of the national writers, everybody's saying the same thing. But they're also coming back right after that by saying, I can't believe it's not done. So that's an interesting thought by the caller. And by the way, yes, I do think it is absolutely going to the Field of Dreams. You'll say, yeah, that was worth it if you make it. I'm not saying go every year, but to be able to say that you've been there is cool.
Say that you've been there, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but back to Phil. That's the puzzling thing. It's a great thought, though, by the caller saying, are you just sort of protecting your guns, protecting yourself by saying, look, this is what I offered. And you guys can interpret if you think that is a low ball offer. I think it's a fair offer. So I think getting that out there in the public is a tactic. The question is, how does J.P. Barrie react to that? J.P. Barrie's got a lot of ovens in the fire, right? He's got a lot of other people that he's represented. I don't know if he's in Montreal, but he's got a lot of people in Montreal that want to have a conversation with him about a number of his players. He's a big-time agent. So he's been through this before.
I can't imagine he's not there.
And is anybody sitting there going, Philip Forsberg, that's a way undersell. If he's offering over $8 million, it's right in line with it, what everybody's been saying all along. So it just comes down to that last $250,000, $500,000 per year. It can't be any more than that right now, right?
I've told you my number. Do I think that there is?
Would you go up if your number is 825? Is that a hard number, or
yes,
you, would you go up to 8.35?
Nope.
Would you go up? I mean, you wouldn't go up any higher than that. You said, look,
I would say to JP, what are we talking about? I gave you we're talking about 8 years. We're talking about a no trade for the length of the contract. Like, really, we're now equivalent over $100,000. I mean, really, in the big scheme of things, of a $66 million deal. I know that's what, technically, I guess it's $800,000. So, I mean, I get it. That's real money. But really, this is where we are? I don't know if, a hard stand. Because, look, again, I understand. Like, David Poile does – we've talked about it. If Philip Forsberg were to walk, people are going to be ticked. I mean, I remember conversations we've had with people like, if you don't think that, like, you're reading the room wrong, okay? People are going to be furious. I said that on the Edmonton radio when I went on Monday. I was like, they're still booing Ryan Suter. They got a kick out of that. I was like, we're what, a decade removed from that? They're still booing him. They can't do that again. They can't do this again, and everybody knows it. David Poile knows it. But I will say this, and this is just my opinion, and I would love to hear what side of the fence you're on. I'm willing to say, if indeed what Ray brought up on that call is true, that David is going, he is prepared if this doesn't get to the finish line. And of course, the finish line, 6 days is going to change everything. So they got 6 days to figure this out. Or less than 6 days, so he can get that eighth year in there. But if he's going eight full completed 8 year contract, no trade, and offered this money, and it's, let's say, in the eights, whatever that is, in the eights, it is my opinion, if that truly is the offer and that gets out there, whether David Poile says it or it's Elliot Friedman on the show or another, Pierre LeBrun, Darren Dreger, those guys that break news, and we find out all the terms, people probably will take their if they're picking sides, they'll probably be mad at Philip Forsberg. I think they'll take it out on him. I really do. I could be wrong, but I don't know how you could say he didn't do his job. David didn't do his job. That's insulting. That's ridiculous. If I'm Philip Forsberg, I would have done the same thing. I just don't see people saying that. And if you are, I don't know what you think is. Maybe you're just one of those people who are like, give him anything, people, which I've said is the absolute wrong approach to take as a fan. Give him anything is an incorrect answer. Okay, this is a business. So who would really say that? I mean, I guess people would, but will the majority of people say that? I think people would say, look, that was a fair offer. You should, he didn't want to be here. And I think people will be mad at Philip Forsberg. Do you agree or disagree? Actually, answer that on the other side.
Okay, let's think about that. That's a really good question, because the reaction will be very important here.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
If that happens, if it gets to that, then the reaction will be big, big news. And so how would you feel? So let's talk about that on the other side.
Well, I don't think it's going to be, hey, I really don't have an opinion one way or another.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, for
sure. Don't think that'll be the case. All right, we'll come back and discuss that to wrap up the second hour of the program. Remember, Caleb Joseph at High Noon. But right now, I want to talk to you about the summer heat that is right upon us. It's on us, right? It is hot today, 115 heat index. Is your air conditioner ready for today and this entire summer? I hope so. We know costs are rising everywhere. Your grocery bill is much higher. Filling up the gas tank is much higher. Utility bills, much higher. You name it, everything's been going up. Is your AC old? Is it inefficient? And is it costing more than it should? Interest rates are rising, but not at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Qualified buyers have up to 72 months, no interest for a new York air conditioner, and 6 months, no interest for repairs. That's at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. All new systems come with a 10-year parts and labor warranty. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York Certified Comfort Expert company. You can schedule now at springhillac.com. Well done. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day and staying cool. Let's go over to our Pittsburgh desk. Max Herz is standing by. The Penguins have made a signing. What have they done, Max?
Sup, Yins Jagoffs. That's the intro of the Pittsburgh desk.
Yins?
The Penguins, who people do not like here, by the way. I don't
no,
know if you
do
that.
Not. They don't like that. What's Cindy Crosby guy? Cindy?
Bobby Crosby, former Pirate shortstop?
Sid the kid. I don't know. Some guy. Crosby or something. It's got an 80s number.
Bing Crosby, who used to own the Pirates.
They don't like him.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people in the league don't like him.
I don't know who you're talking about. But anyway.
So what have they done?
They have signed, as Pierre Maguire would say, Christopher Letang to a six-year contract, $6.1 million a year, to keep him, as the literal team account tweeted, a Penguin for life. And I thought he was the most likely of their three big pending UFAs this summer to go. Brian Rust, who is the youngest of the three, signed a really team-friendly contract pretty much right after they got eliminated from the playoffs, which was a big win for the team from a cap perspective. This one, I think, is being viewed as an overpay and too much term. Especially too much
it's
term.
Insane.
More
it's
so than
what this feels like. Contract.
I'll tell you what, because I saw it too. And so I just wanted to have a little fun. Do you know what the first, there were two names that came to mind. One is they're expecting a retirement out of him today. It feels like Duncan Keith. Maybe Seabrook, right? Those two, those were just, we knew, right? They were going to be bad.
Yeah,
bad contracts.
And that was,
that's
that
what it
was
feels
the,
like.
That was the old CBA. So those guys signed the double-digit years. I can't remember how many years, 10 years, 12 years. And so,
but you knew I it would be bad.
You knew it would get bad eventually. Anytime you signed something like that, it's like Shea Weber and Ryan Suter. You see what's happened towards the tail end. But how could you sign a guy to 6 years?
How
he
old
just
is
Letang? 35. He's 35.
I would have said
35.
I was honestly, I thought he may be a tad bit older than that.
He's similar, if not the same, draftier as Crosby. He's either 05 or 06 draftee. Mm. But the last piece of it is Malkin is also a UFA. And there were comments, I believe, from Ron Hextall and Brian Burke are the GM and the director of hockey ops, so they're both kind of involved in this. But there were comments from one of them yesterday basically that both are going to be re-signed. So presumably if they fulfill what they said and re-sign Malkin, they probably give him a lot of years, too, and they're capped out, which is fine because they kept all three of their pending UFAs. But it's, yeah.
It's silly.
They're keeping the group together.
Yeah, but is this like a lifetime achievement award contract? I mean,
How
looks
could he be
silly.
Worth that? Maybe for another year or two. But, man, you're really pushing the clock. You're starting at age 35. And, you know, we've talked a lot. We can't talk out of both sides of our mouth. You've got Ryan McDonagh, but Ryan McDonagh is 2 years younger. He is yet to play his age 33 season. So those
with
next 2 years.
4 years remaining.
Right.
2 years younger, 4 years remaining.
6 years starting
six
at
years,
age 35.
Two years older.
That, That takes you through age 40. And he's a dynamic skating defenseman who's a skilled defenseman. To me, it's tough to envision him keeping that elite level of movement and skill.
But he's missed games over the years. He's missed games over the years. How many full seasons does he have?
He's a great player.
Well, a lot of them, Darren, weren't hockey injuries. He had problems with blood clots and had a stroke, I believe. Not that those things can't happen again, but it's not always hockey injuries that he's missed time with.
Okay, but I mean, he has. I'm just saying he's missed a lot of time.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm just qualifying.
I mean, this just in? I'm older than him, and your body doesn't get better. Kind of going through this, it doesn't get better. So I don't know. That's a
shocking move. To have to sign him to 6 years. I don't know where he was going to go. That's the other thing of this. But I do wonder the reaction to it from Phil's camp, even though it's a different position and he's older. I do wonder if there's any kind of, well, it looks like the Penguins buckled. So, David, you guys can buckle. Come on, you can go up to 8.7 or, you know, whatever it is that they're throwing out there. I don't know. But I'm surprised. And there's also another big, big trade that just happened as well.
Well, put it out there. I know what it is. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, we just saw one of the great runs in Stanley Cup history of the salary cap era. A dominant Avalanche team won the whole thing. And that was despite just having to, they didn't have to have any kind of real elite goaltending. Darcy Kuemper got the job done, but he got hurt during the playoffs and missed some games. They had Pavel Francouz, Darcy Kuemper, who they gave up a lot to get just for the 1 year. Mm-hmm. Job well done. He got a cup. They just traded for another goalie. So Darcy Kuemper is going to hit the free agent market. The Avalanche have traded for the Rangers backup, Alexander Georgiev, in exchange for a third rounder and a fifth rounder in tonight's draft, or I guess this weekend's draft, as well as a third rounder in next year's draft. So two-thirds and a fifth for Alexander Georgiev, who the Rangers didn't have enough room to sign. I think people envision Georgiev as a starting goalie who has just flat-out been overmatched. He happens to be on the same team as one of the best goalies in the world right now, in Igor Shesterkin. So he became expendable. So that's pretty scary. If Georgiev is the real deal, and I don't know what he's going to sign for, I don't know how they're going to figure him in on the cap. I don't know what his contract is. We'll look here in a minute. But the Avalanche may have just upgraded in goal, in my mind.
I think so. I don't know a whole lot. Well, I don't know a whole lot about him because he sits behind
the talent
guy who just won the Vezina. So I don't know a whole lot. I don't even remember. Did he start against the Predators? I don't.
He did. I think the Predators beat him 1-0 up in Madison Square Garden. I'll pull up his stats.
Willie, is he the best backup in the NHL this past season?
I don't know if he's the best, but I think he is viewed as a guy that is a starter. He is only 26. He came up, remember, around the time Shesterkin came up. He actually came up, I think, a little bit before.
He had it before.
They were still trying to hang on. Henrik Lundqvist was still trying to hang on to his last best days. I guess, to be honest, his numbers don't wow you, but I think he's shown the flashes of a guy who's still pretty young, who could shine if given the reins there. That's
I
would
say they gave up a ton, though. I mean, they did give up two draft picks, but still, a third and a fifth. I mean, that's not.
No, it just shows
if he
you
turns
how
out to be your starter, right? I mean, that's nothing. If he's your guy, and you can turn him into a legit starter, right, for 60 games a year, that's nothing. We'll find out if he does. But as a lot of people will say, look, here's the thing, because you know we've heard this. Yeah, but he's in Colorado, so I mean, who cares? He doesn't have to be that good. They'll score six goals a game, and he's just got to be better than average. I mean, there are people who believe that, right? Because with all the Kemper stuff, it's like, yeah, but he's the goalie in Colorado. I mean, come on. So there is that. By the way, the Rangers came into tonight with only two. They only had four draft picks, so they just picked. That was another reason too. They added two to the kitty.
So Georgiev is 2.425 through next year, if I'm looking at that right. Or is he a free agent? Man, I'm not maneuvering as quickly on the computer as I want to be today. Darren, let's see. It looks to me like he is a RFA at the end of this contract. Am I reading this right? So he's less expensive. He's younger than Kemper. And yet I don't think the Rangers wanted to budget his next contract. They've got too many other guys that they've got to lock in.
Yep.
For the long term. And they've got Shesterkin, who's making what? He's making a ton. Shesterkin, they just signed him to a huge long-term contract. So he was expendable. And so, I honestly think it's a brilliant move by the Avalanche.
Junie weighs in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He is also a resident Penguins fan. And he said, I wanted Letang back, but that was too long and too much. Wow. Junie, all right. We agree. I just figured maybe Junie might be in the give him whatever he wants. He's Chris Letang. That's crazy. We got to ask Elliot about that, what his thoughts are.
Man, that and the Georgiev. Georgiev is a restricted free agent. He's 26. He just made 2.4. So he's going to be
RFA.
In that.
Okay.
He's an RFA. He'll probably get a raise. But I think you can control, because he's an RFA, you could probably get him at a cap number that easily will be lower than what somebody's going to pay Kemper. And you might get a better goalie. You're definitely getting a younger goalie. And you still have Francois for two more years.
We'll switch gears, talk with our buddy Caleb Joseph to begin the third hour. That's next.